Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad that you're here. Are you glad you're here this morning? Well, there's about five people over in that section, and the rest of you have fallen into a coma. Are you glad you're here this morning? Amen. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Thanks for coming out. And I'd like to say good morning to the Lawlesses. It's nice to have Brenda and Brian home and Aiden back from Tennessee. And we're glad to have you here in town visiting for the week. They said that they're going to Universal Studios, and they would like to get hot over the next couple of days. And so we're glad that you're here today. And we're thankful for every one of you being here. To all of our guests, I just want to say thanks for coming out to be with us. And thank you for everybody for being so faithful in these summer months. And, you know, there's a lot of places. We obviously have a lot of people on vacation now. But when you're not on vacation away from town, will you just make sure, just make the effort to come and be with us here? And we think that God has something to say to you. And in fact, I started out talking the beginning of this year that I felt like the Lord had kind of given me a word for the year. And if you've been here for at all here for these last few weeks, you've heard me talking about this, that God gave me a word, and like he didn't actually speak an audible word to me, but I began to hear like him really impress something into my spirit. And it was like all at one time he spoke the word transition to me, and that he was going to do transition. And honestly, when he said transition to me, let me just tell you, I was like completely not happy about it, because I literally, when he said it to me, I responded with, "What do you mean transition? All we've done is transition for the last 5 or 6 years." Anybody, have you been in that place in your life? It feels like it's just been one transition. And then now, as I'm stepping further into this, the Lord's starting to tell me, or give me some understanding, that it's no longer just the preparation for the transition. It's the stepping into the transition. It's stepping into the place that he's been preparing me and preparing you for. And so in order for us to do that, and I think that God has a place where he's taken each and every one of us, your life is going somewhere. Do you understand that? Like your life is heading in a direction, and you can cooperate with God's program, or you can just take your own path, but it's gonna land somewhere. So my thought about that is if God has a plan for us, then we should deliberately choose to follow what God has for us. Like we're gonna have to make decisions that get us to a certain end. Your life is gonna land somewhere. Is it going to land there on purpose? Is it going to land there because, like, there's a design behind it? And here's the thing that I've started to realize for my own life, and I've been just saying it over and over again, and that is the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Look at the person sitting next to you and say to them, the best is yet to come. If there's no one sitting next to you, just say it good and out loud to yourself. Come on, say it with me. The best is yet to come. Yeah. A few years ago, I was over in Target, and I was in the checkout line, and the person in the checkout line, I could tell he was kind of chatty. He was talking to the people in the line in front of me and the people in line in front of them. And so when it came down to me, he asked me a question that was odd. Honestly, it just kind of dumbfounded me. He asked me the question, if you could be anything in the next year, what would you be? And so, like, I started to think about, like, what I'd want to be. And then, like, I reverted for a couple of minutes, like, I'd be a ninja. And then, but in case you don't know this is private conversation, so don't tell anybody. But like in my alter ego life, I would be an assassin. Isn't that awful? Like I'd work at accounting by day and then be an assassin at night or something. I don't know. And so, see, for those of you who are mean church members, don't forget that. You know, and so. But here's the deal. So I started thinking, I'm on the spot, like, what I want to be, like, okay, what do I want to become in the next year? Got to think, like, first couple things went through my mind is, like, I'd like to be bilingual. You know? Honestly, for people who are bilingual, that's amazing to me. I actually took 3 years of Spanish, 2 years in high school, and 1 year in college. My second year in high school, I was going in for my third year of Spanish, and as I'm walking into the room, the teacher says, come over here, and I walked over to his desk, and he said, let me see your book, and he took my book, and I handed it to him, and he said, go to the office and tell them you are no longer allowed in this class. And I'm like, what? And he was like, it's because I went through 2 years of Spanish and did not know one word of Spanish. Like, I still don't know. Went to college and took a year of it. And still, honestly, like, I tried. If I could be something, I would be bilingual. I've barely gotten English down, though. So I think I'm going to focus on that for a little while. But if I could be something, you know, I don't know, maybe a world traveler. But then as I stood there for a couple of moments, I got to thinking, really, if I was going to be anything, I would want to be the best possible me. I would want to be the best version of me. Maybe you're in that very same place that you feel like there's something ahead of you and like there's a direction that's taking place. And there are a lot of things that you could be, but I think all of us underneath that, we want to be the best version of ourselves. When it comes to our finances, we want to be the best version of ourselves. When it comes to relationships and family, we want to be the best version of ourselves. We want to be the best us. When it comes to our spiritual walk, when it comes to even our educational walk, our physical being, we want to be the best version of us. Everybody wants to be better. Now, the interesting thing about being better, though, is in order for us to be better, we don't just wake up one morning and go, oh good morning, I'm better. There's actually some stuff that has to happen. Transition has to happen. Like, there's changes that have to take place for me to be better than I was yesterday. And many of us, well, like, we want to be better, but it's the going around the corner. It's that turn. It's that transition of leaving yesterday behind and leaving the person that we were behind. Because here's the interesting thing about this, and I don't know about you, but I am emotionally invested into the mess that I am. You know, it's taken me 39 years to develop this. Yeah, some of you, yeah. If you're a guest, ask somebody about that later. Here's the deal. I'm emotionally involved in the decisions that I've made that have made this person who stands up here today. And so when I have to start to think about, like, I want to transition and I want to change, then there's places of me where I'm emotionally involved and emotionally invested in who I've become that I'm going to have to somehow abandon those, leave those, learn a better version in order for me to become the better person that I think that I'm supposed to be. And many of us, you could testify to this today, that like you've been practicing the version of you for quite a while. And somehow we perfected this version of ourselves. And there are things that reinforce it. Sometimes like somebody says something when you're young. So like somebody, there's a place in your life or maybe just recently where somebody says, man, I love that haircut on you. And you are so dying for affirmation that you just hold on to that haircut. And so now here it is like 30, 40 years later and you're still Farrah Fawcetting with feathered hair bangs. You know what I'm talking about? Because you were emotionally attached to that. It was a good place for you, but yet now the world's moved on and life has moved on, and yet somehow you've not transitioned. And I know that's a light place, but churches do it. Churches have a moment in time where something great takes place in their world and in their life, and like God moves among them. And then honestly, like something happens and the cloud begins to move and things begin to change. Culture changes, people change, the people in the congregation changes. And the problem with it is churches get emotionally invested and emotionally attached to who they were at one point. And I'm not talking about leaving doctrine and leaving like good sound teaching, but I'm talking about like practices and programs that you're so emotionally invested in them that like time has moved on and we're still doing the same things that we were doing in the 1950s and the 1960s, and yet they don't work anymore. And the Lord's like saying something has to change, like there has to be a transition. And so transition is something that's not easy. In fact, scriptural wise, there's actually a lot of talk about this, that it's talk about putting in new oil in old wineskins. Like God wants to put something new down inside of you, and like we're trying to do that and hold on to the old at the same time. Listen, I'm going to challenge you today. Like God wants to do something new and fresh in your life, and He wants to transition you into the person that He's calling you to be. So one of the first things we have to do is we have to realize that we have a need to change. There's a need for us to change. And many times what we do is we begin to excuse ourselves because it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to change. And we practice this process our whole life of absolving ourselves from having to change. When I was in elementary school, here's how it would go in elementary school. A subject would come up and I didn't want to learn that subject, or it was difficult for me. And so I would, can I go to the bathroom, please? Anybody know what I'm talking about? If it got really bad, if there was a test, I would develop an immediate fever in the morning. Oh, I think I'm sick. I ain't going to school today. You know, go in and put my face right near the heater and then run out and I think I have a fever. I'm like, yeah. And you also nearly burnt your face on the heater in the bedroom, you know. So, but we avoid places that are going to make us uncomfortable where we might have to transition. And so we have to position ourselves. We have to say there needs to be change in order for us to change. Are you ready? There has to be some sense of transition about that. And in order for us to transition, there has to be like some wisdom applied into our lives. If you don't like a lot of folks, if they don't like what the preacher's saying, then honestly, they just don't come to church. If they don't like something, a message series, they just don't come. And then there might be something valuable in there, but it made them uncomfortable. Or maybe it was just not something they wanted to sit through, so they felt like they were exempt from it. And there could have been something really essential down inside of that. And like you miss that. So like the wisest people, as far as I'm concerned, are people that lean into gaining understanding, lean into what is being taught so that you can learn it, whether it's in school or whether it's in life or whether it's in church, leaning into it, like saying like at the end of the sermon, like, Pastor Paul, like that was awesome preaching. You did that for 35 minutes. Preach another 20 minutes. Those are the wisest people in the room today. I just, you know, just... So, but here's the deal, is we have to lean into wisdom. We have to lean into understanding, because we never get to the place. We never get to the place where we graduate from learning, where we graduate from gaining understanding. You're going to end up somewhere, but you have to decide in your life if you're going to end up somewhere on purpose or if you're going to just simply end up somewhere in your future. Where is your current destination taking you to? Where are your current decisions taking you to? So you have to start to contemplate the decisions I'm making. Is it transitioning me to the life that I want and I'm supposed to have? I read this story a while ago, and just let me share this with you. It's from Scott Peck in the book, The Road Less Traveled. Here's what he says. Two battleships assigned, and I'm going to just read this. So two battleships assigned to the training squadron had been at sea on maneuvers in heavy weather for several days. I was serving on the lead battleship and was on watch on the bridge as night fell. The visibility was poor with patchy fog, so the captain remained on the bridge, keeping an eye on all activities. Shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing of the bridge reported light bearing on the starboard bow. "Is it steady or moving astern?" the captain called out. The lookout replied, "Steady, Captain," which meant we were on a dangerous collision course with that ship. The captain then called out to the signalman, "Signal the ship, we are on a collision course. Advise you to change course 20 degrees. Back came a signal, "Advisable for you to change your course 20 degrees. And the captain said, "Send, I am a captain, change your course 20 degrees. The message came back, "I am a seaman second class, you had better change your course 20 degrees. By that time, the captain was furious and he spat out, "I am a battleship, change your course 20 degrees. And back came the flashing light, "I am a lighthouse, you change your course 20 degrees. Some of us are on a collision course with something in our future and we don't want to change. Like, we don't want to transition when it comes to our finances. We don't want to transition when it comes to our spiritual walk, when it comes to our relationship, when it comes to parenting, when it comes to our job. We don't want to transition, and we don't realize that we are on a collision course. So where we end up probably depends on one thing. Where we end up probably depends on how well do I respond to instruction concerning transition. How well am I equipped to learn? How teachable am I? And that's what I want to talk about for a few moments. The Bible has a lot to say about being teachable. The Bible has a lot to say about gaining wisdom, because none of us came out of the womb with wisdom. Honestly, like, we have to learn this. Everything we get in life, we have to learn. Jesus even had to grow in stature. Jesus had to grow in wisdom. Here's what it says in Proverbs, the 10th chapter and the 8th verse. The wise in heart accept commandments, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. It's not a natural thing. They only get wisdom. They only listen to advice. They only listen to counsel when they have to do it. But again, the wisest people are like, "No, don't stop. I want to hear what you have to say." In order for us to transition to be the best people that we're supposed to be, in order for us to transition to be the best version, you have to be teachable. You have to be willing to learn. And I don't think it's our default setting. Nobody wakes up in the morning and gets out of bed and says, like, man, I'm willing to learn. Nobody's like, man, I can't wait for that person in the cubicle next to me at work to criticize my work. Nobody's waking up in the morning and saying, man, I hope my wife has something to say about the way I'm acting. Nobody has that. We're on a default setting of being defensive about that. But here's the deal, is in order for us to grow, we have to be open for somebody to be able to instruct us. In fact, I'm absolutely convinced that we stop growing at the level of where we stop receiving instruction. We stop growing at the level where we stop receiving instruction. In fact, I think of it this way, like, all of us want to live a life of excellence. Can somebody say amen? Like, we want to live in excellence in our lives. And so, like, I want to live at the best possible level that I can be. But here's what we have to have. In order for us to have excellence, we have to have skill to be excellent. Like, we're just not, like, again, it's amazing to me, there are singers in this world that they want to be great singers, but they need to hone their skills. So in order for you to be better at your skills, then what you have to do to be excellent, you have to have skills, and those skills have to be trained. The interesting thing is, like, I watch, anybody else besides me watch The Voice or American Idol? Like, I love those shows. Here's one of the things that they talk about, and you don't hear a lot about it, but occasionally you'll hear something from the backside of the show, and that is that they have people that are coaches and counselors, not the ones that are out on the stage, but there's people on the backside of that that they're like, man, you have a great instrument, like, you have a great voice, but here's the problem with it is, like, you do some weird stuff with your voice, and you turn your mouth sideways, and you make a weird face, and you look like you're mean, and, like, you have to get some new clothes, and you need a haircut, and they really say some harsh stuff to them,
But there's a reason why they're doing that is because they want them to become the best version of themselves. And many of us, we want to be the best version of ourselves, but we just simply don't position ourselves for instruction.
And so in order for there to be instruction, in order for there to be training, there has to be an instructor. And there are some people that are resisting instruction. Let me tell you, there's three categories of people that I think resist instruction. I'll give them to you quickly. Here's the first one. Are you ready? The know-it-all. Anybody know a know-it-all? Seriously, if you're sitting next to them, please don't elbow them right now. But we all know a know-it-all. Here's what it says, Proverbs 28, verse 26. Those who trust their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. We have to get to the place where we have to be able to receive instruction because we don't know everything. There's a reason why people like don't go to counseling. There's a reason why people don't talk to other people. It's because on some level, they know it's going to be uncomfortable, or they have an arrogance that I already got this thing and I don't want to be told anything to cause me to change. Proverbs 11, verse 14 says this, where there is no counsel, people fail, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You have to have good counsel. Don't listen to your companions. Don't just listen to your companions. Don't listen to your critics, because your critics just want to take you down. Who you have to have in your life is you have to have coaches in your life. People who are only invested in your life to listen and give you good advice. Several years ago, when we were first starting Christ Church, I have a friend of mine who is smart. He's a very bright businessman, but he's not just a bright businessman. He's also a spiritual man. And we were having a conversation one day. His dad's a pastor. He's been on the board of several organizations, been on the board of several churches, and he was one of the founding members of our church. And he and I were having a conversation one day about something, I don't know, a decision that had to be made. And as we were having this conversation, he said something that really... it crossed me wrong. I'm like, where's that coming from? I don't agree with that. And so in my mind, I started backing up and I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. I'm thinking this while I'm on the phone with him. He was one of the vice presidents of Lockheed Martin. And in my mind, I'm going, does he think I'm an employee of his now? Like, am I just somebody he's had a fight with in business? Am I just somebody from a bad previous church experience? Is that what this is going to turn out to be? And honestly, let me just tell you what happened. Like, I got really quiet, and I'll give you a cue about me here, and that is that if I'm involved in a conflict with somebody and I'm talking, it's good. When I stop talking... you know, like, it's a volcano brewing underneath that. It's because if I say anything, it's all coming out. So I get really quiet. So I got really quiet on the telephone. And then we just conclude the conversation. I'm like, what in the world? Where's he coming from? And I'm like indignant. I'm like, what? I'm not going to be involved in this. Lord, I didn't start Christ Church of Orlando to be involved in some kind of fight with people. Why'd you put me in this position? I'm having this whole conversation with the Lord and just angry about this. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, he's not trying to hurt you. He's your friend. He's trying to help you, but you won't listen. Man, let me just tell you. It was one of the clearest things that the Lord's ever said to me. Because this is somebody who's invested in my life, who loves me, and didn't have any other agenda except to put him in the line of fire and help me. So I had to call him back and say, listen, man, I'm so sorry for the way that conversation went. I'm so sorry for my attitude. And so I just apologize about that. And he was like, you don't have to worry about that. I'm like, I have to get this right. Here's the deal is there are going to be people in our lives that they're going to speak to us. And we have to understand they're on our side. And if we act like a know-it-all, none of us know everything, we need to have counsel. Here's the second group of people that don't receive any counsel here. They are not teachable. The been there, done that person.
Been there, heard it, said it, saw it, did it. Got that chalked up. Like, no, don't tell me to do that again. I did that before. Go back and do that again.
Like, here's what it says in Proverbs 18, verse 2. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. They have no desire to listen. They're just waiting, honestly, they're just waiting for you to stop talking so they can tell you why they were right to start with. Can somebody say amen? Man, it's really quiet in this room today.
It's amazing to me, people that want to get married but don't want to do premarital counseling. I'll go ahead and preach for a second. They want to get married and don't want to do premarital counseling because they already know everything. Never been married, never been in a relationship, but they already know everything that there is to be about being married. And so let me just tell you, like, somebody has to speak into our lives.
Here's the third one, a group of people that just don't receive teaching. The one-upper.
So you tell them, like, this is the way it is, and this is where it's going to land. And then they come up with, okay, I know that that's why you think that I'm here, but you don't understand how extraordinary my circumstances are. Like, there's never been a marriage that's as messed up on this as mine in the face of the planet. Like, no one's ever been married to a husband like mine. No one's ever been married to a wife like mine. You think that's bad? Wait till you hear it in my one-up story.
The one-upper. And so what they do is they begin to disqualify themselves because they're absolutely convinced that their problem, their dilemma is so unique that no one has ever faced it on the planet before.
Proverbs 12, verse 15, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen. They listen. So let me ask this question. How do you respond to instruction?
I believe it's one of the reasons why we have to be in a church. It's one of the reasons why we have to attend Bible studies, why we have to be in places where there's instruction that's taking place, where we belong to a connection group and we talk things out in a connection group. And rather than just show up with an argument, we show up positioned, postured to listen. Being teachable is a positional thing. Hearing is a positional thing. You have to decide if you want to be entertained or if you want to be taught. You have to decide in your life if you want to just continue to stay in the same place where you are, or if you want to grow into a new place, if you want to transition into a new place. Can somebody say an amen in this place?
Positioning yourself for teaching. You have to cultivate a position.
Here's what it says in Romans, Revelation, the second chapter and the seventh verse. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
He, open your ears to hear. Open your ears to hear.
Okay, so here's the three attitudes, as far as I'm concerned, that you have to have concerning being teachable, and I'll give them to you quickly. And Sean, if you'll come back. Here's the first one. A person who is teachable understands and submits to authority. They understand and submit to authority. They're not argumentative.
Proverbs 12, verse 1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction, this is not my word, it's scripture, is stupid.
Like, discipline doesn't feel good, but those that hate correction, it's just nonsensical. Like, to always have opinions about stuff and always feel that you're right about stuff, like, somewhere here, we have to stop and listen to other people. Something happened to me a few years ago. I was in prayer and, like, I felt impressed of the Lord to do something that was extraordinary, something I'd never heard of anybody doing, and something I felt like I was supposed to do. Outside of decisions I had to make for my office and for the church and that kind of stuff, I felt impressed of the Lord not to offer my opinion about anything for 3 months. Anything. Somebody like, do you think I look better in blue or black? I don't know. What do you think? No opinion. How about politics? No opinion. How about that circumstance and that person? No opinion. I went 3 months, and let me just tell you, at the end of those 3 months, it was like a weight was lifted off of me.
I no longer felt like the responsibility for the entire world. Like the world was sitting on edge, waiting to hear what I had to say. And let me just tell you, it made me a better listener. It made me a person who listened to what other people even had to say about me rather than, but, and having an opinion about it. So a person who is teachable, they understand, they submit to someone else who's teaching them rather than always having a comeback to it. Number two, a person who is teachable, they seek and respond to counsel. They seek out counsel. They seek someone. If you need to have better finances, seek someone out who's good in finances. If you need to have a better marriage, seek someone out that has a better marriage. There was something that we did last year called Reclaim Table. And we invited people just to show up at restaurants, and we had tables that where you signed your name up on them. And so there was one that was going to take place at Friday night down here at Brick and Fire. And it was kind of an odd Friday night because the names that ended up, I didn't know two of the couples, and I knew two of the couples and did a little bit of investigation. I'm like, oh man, we need to get these people. None of them know each other, and this is going to be really weird and awkward. And so it was interesting because what took place was a couple of them showed up on that Friday night dinner, and they said, like, we've been through divorces, we've been through hardships, bad relationships, and not great places in our life. And one of the couples had just celebrated their 30th anniversary. And somebody spoke up and said, like, we need you in our life. We need somebody to show us what 30 years of marriage looks like. Like, you have to position yourself. And let me just tell you guys, can I just preach for a second? I'm going to go to anyway, but here's the deal. Let me just tell you. If all of your friends are going through a divorce, do not go to them and talk to them about your marriage. Amen. If all of your friends are up to debt in their eyeballs, do not go to them and ask them for financial counsel. You need people that have wisdom in your life. So a person who is wise, a person who is transitioning, they're teachable. Here's the last one. A teachable spirit is humble. They have a heart of humility. Pride says, I already know it. I don't need it. Pride says, I don't want to admit that I don't know something. Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. We talked about this for a few moments already this morning. Jesus was being asked of his disciples, who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, unless you come to me like a child, whoever humbles themselves like a child positions themselves in the center of the kingdom of God. So, like, humble yourself. I have to humble myself and say, okay, I'm going to receive instruction. We need to learn to be good listeners. Okay. In the next few moments, I'm just going to close out. But here's what I want to challenge you with, that you have to understand that being teachable means that God's not finished with us yet. That he's still taking us somewhere, that our best day, the best version of ourselves is still yet ahead of us. And so we have to offer ourselves to God and say, okay, Lord, whatever you say, whatever you want me to do, my ears are open to hear you. My ears are open to hear your instruction. Let your spirit speak to me, and whether your spirit is speaking to me through a pastor or through a friend, but let me hear what you have to say. I'm just going to read these to you. I didn't read this in the first service, and then I'm going to close in prayer here. Here's ways for you to kind of determine this. Am I willing to listen more than talk? Do I admit when I'm mistaken? I observe before acting on a situation. Am I able to agree or disagree without being disagreeable? I desire information more than answers. I enjoy asking questions. I'm open to new suggestions and new ideas. I am patient and willing to be a student. Will you ask yourself today, am I positioning myself to learn? Because here's what you want. You want to transition to be the best version of yourself. And God wants to help you with that today. Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me today? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for your great blessings. I thank you for bringing us here to this place today. I thank you for speaking to our hearts and for the people that you use to speak to us. So, Lord, today, like we lay down every wall, every barrier, every resistance to your Spirit as he speaks to us and compels us to move forward to be the people that you call us to be. And Lord, as you're calling, maybe there's someone here today that you're calling because they don't know you yet. And today they're positioned to hear you and respond to you. So Lord, will you speak to us and we'll respond. With every head bowed and every eye closed, in the next couple of moments, I'm going to give you the opportunity to say yes to God, to receive Christ as your Savior, to say, Lord, I'm willing to learn of you and I want you to come into my heart and my life. I'm inviting you in. So will you just repeat this prayer after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your Son, that he came to this earth, gave his life so I could have a new life. So I receive Christ today. Jesus, come in. Anything that separates us, I lay it down. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I'll follow you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer, needed to pray that prayer, let me see your hand right now so I can pray for you in the days ahead. Yes, I see it. The Lord sees it. Yes, I see it. The Lord sees it. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you just raised your hand, there's a card in the seat in front of you that says, I made a decision to follow Jesus. Will you take a moment and fill out that card? And before you leave this place today, turn it into the Starting Point Guest Center so we can help you get started on your journey with God. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me today. Will you let them know they've made the best decision? Come on. Come on. Are you positioning yourself to be teachable? Are you positioning yourself to hear from God to transition to be the next person that you're supposed to be? I'm going to ask for our prayer partners to come, if you would, this morning. And our prayer partners are going to be down front here. If you have a prayer need, if you'd like to have somebody pray with you about taking the courage to step forward and be the person that you're supposed to be. If you'd like to have someone pray with you that, like, maybe there's a decision or a conversation that you need to hear or have, we're going to ask you to step out of your seats and come down here and let them pray with you today. And if you're sick, if you'd like to have just somebody pray for you, or maybe if you're just walking through some difficulty in your life, our prayer partner is going to be here with you today as we begin to sing. Come on, give them a big hand as they step out of their seats and come for prayer.